From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden, during Thursday night's second and final presidential debate, sparred on numerous issues, including immigration. Only days earlier, the story broke that lawyers ordered by a federal judge to reunite separated immigrant families could not locate the parents of 545 children. When asked about the horror of family separation at the debate, Trump lied, saying coyotes and bad people brought the children as an excuse to enter the country, and that the children were being taken care of in wonderful conditions. Here are some excerpts of the Thursday night exchange between the two major party candidates for president.
Children are brought here by coyotes and lots of bad people, cartels, and they're brought here, and they used to use them to get into our country. And we let people in, but they have to come in legally, and they come in through
America. But how will you reunite these kids with their families, Mr. President?
They built cages. You know, they used to say, I built the cages. And then they had a picture in a certain newspaper, and it was a picture of these horrible cages. And they said, look at these cages. President Trump built them. And then it was determined they were built in 2014, that was him.
Do you have a plan to reunite the kids?
Yes, we're working on it we're trying very hard. But a lot of these kids come out without the parents. They come over through cartels and through coyotes and through gangs.
These 500 plus kids came with parents. They separated them at the border to make it a disincentive to come to begin with. Bay, real tough, we're really strong. And guess what? They cannot, it's not coyotes didn't bring them over. Their parents were with them. They got separated from their parents. And it makes us a laughingstock and violates every notion of who we are as a nation.
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Kristen, they did it. We changed the policy.
Your response
they
to that?
They did it.
We
changed.
Did not
they built the cages. Who built the cages,
let's,
Joe?
Let's talk about what
who
we're
built
talking
the cages,
about.
Joe?
Let's talk about what we're talking about.
They are so well taken care of. They're in facilities that were so clean.
But some of them haven't been reunited with their families.
But just ask one question. Who built the cages? I'd love you to ask him that.
That's Trump and Biden on Thursday night at the second and final presidential debate discussing immigrant family separation. We turn now to Carol Ann Donahoe, managing attorney of the Family Reunification Project at Al Otro Lado. Welcome to the program, Carol Ann.
Thank you for having me.
So much to discuss in that exchange between Trump and Biden on Thursday night. First, let's talk about the fact that Trump was asked about the plan for reuniting families, and he immediately pivoted to, well, it wasn't really parents who brought the children in, it was coyotes, it was bad people. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, that's not surprising because that's Donald Trump's typical dog whistle to just pivot between and not answering the question and dehumanizing the people who are coming across the border. So he said that they are being brought by coyotes and drug smugglers and all of that, but really the list that the attorneys are going by is a list that was provided by the government after the judge required them to, once they acknowledged that they had actually been separating families for a long time. So the list that they're going off of is a list of families that our own government has identified as having been separated either during the zero tolerance policy or during the pilot program.
Not separated from traffickers, but separated from parents.
Right, separated from parents.
By the U.S. government, not anyone else.
So it's a list of parents and children that our government has identified as having been separated by our government.
So the closest that Trump came on Thursday night to acknowledging what his government did was when moderator Kristen Walker repeated the question whether the government had a plan to reunite the children, and he said, yes, we do, and we're working very hard on it. And then he immediately jumped away from it and refused to focus on it. So let's focus on it for a little bit. 545 children, that's a lot of lives that have been deeply traumatized, a lot of families that have been ripped apart. I cannot, as a parent, imagine what it's like for either my child or myself if I was to be ripped away from my children. So who do these children represent in terms of the total number of families that were separated? What happened to the families just in broad strokes when they came to the United States and were caught by the government?
Yes, well, and I am also a parent, and reading, I'm privy to all the documents and the declarations from each of these families that we represent. And I can tell you it's heartbreaking to read through what we have done to these families. And when you talk about the 545, remember, those are the ones that have yet to be found. But there were, I think, about 1,100 parents and parents on that original list of families and who had been separated and then deported. And that's kind of where our focus is.
Separated and then deported without their children. So the government took away the children from the parents, deported the parents, leaving the children in the United States. I mean, they could have deported whole families back, which would have been cruel enough. But they deported the parents, leaving the children behind. I mean, that's kidnapping. That's mass kidnapping.
Right. And I'm glad you say that, because I think that a lot of the terminology that we use when we're discussing these horrendous policies, it sounds so benign. I mean, family separation, you know, obviously it sounds awful, but really it's kidnapping, and really it's disappearing, disappearing of parents and disappearing of children, and nothing says that more than the fact that there's these 545 parents that they can't even locate. And so, yes, so they came to our border, and the class of people that we're talking about right now are the ones who were not, that the government did not admit at first that they had this pilot program where they were purposely separating families as a deterrent. And that was, these families came to our border, a parent and child, sometimes more than one child, as a justification for taking the child, although they would say it's the opposite. They said that they had to prosecute everyone crossing over unlawfully. So they would prosecute the parent, or charge the parent, with unlawful entry, which is basically a misdemeanor. And then they would then put the parent in a federal prison. And because they can't keep the child in the federal prison, they would take the child and put the child into an Office of Refugee Resettlement location.
And all of this was quite deliberate. I mean, this goes all the way back to 2017 when then Attorney General Jeff Sessions came out and said that they would do this. And since then, we've gotten lots of reporting of internal documents. Only recently, the New York Times had a lengthy piece where it was found that not only Jeff Sessions, but Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who was seen as some sort of liberal Democrat for a minute, was found to have gone even further in pushing the bar for taking children, you know, as young as possible, regardless of age, away from their parents. It was a very deliberate thing. They did it because they wanted to punish people for coming to the United States.
Right. And, you know, as you've often heard, the cruelty was the point. There was absolutely no consideration of what harm this would do to the child, let alone the parent. And it was intentional, and that's what's coming out in the news now, or is just how intentional it was in the very beginning when it came to light and the ACLU brought the Mizell class action. There was a lot that was unknown. So, you know, the government kind of made it seem the separation aspect was accidental and it wasn't intentional. It wasn't intended to be a deterrent. It was just offshoot of the having to charge them, you know, coming lawfully, et cetera. So now we really know, and we're just probably skimming the surface of what happened and how purposeful it was, how intentionally cruel it was, no matter how young the child, and we're talking about nursing infants. And it just, again, reiterates how this, I hate to call it an administration, but how they treat migrants coming to our borders seeking safety, that they do not see them as human beings. And I can assure you that in talking with these children and talking with these parents, many are struggling tremendously over this, and they are just like any parent and any child who would have, you know, been put into this horrific
situation. And presumably parents came with their children looking for a better future for their children. So one of the other pivots and deflections that Trump engaged in on Thursday night was to say to Biden that they're the ones who built the cages. You know, he kept asking the moderator, ask Biden, who built the cages? Joe, who built the cages? And we know the Obama administration had a poor record, especially in the early years, on immigration, that there was family detention. But was there family separation systematically in the Obama administration?
Well, I mean, I can start by just speaking to that as someone who was pretty much on the front lines of the family detention when that was ramped up under Obama, and we fought his administration for years to release families that they detained. So I don't deny or forget Obama's history.
And the family detention actually started with Bush, right? And then Obama continued it or reinstated it?
I'm here in Pennsylvania. We have a family detention center that's been running since 2001. And wow. For the longest time, it was the only family detention center. And then they started, it was T. Don Hutto in Texas. And that was found to be so egregious that they shut it down in 2009, but the one near me, which is called Berks, was always up and running, but not to the extent that it was when June and July 2014, Obama decided to do this, say his own deterrence policy by ramping up family detention and first starting with Berks and then building the other facilities. So my argument to Trump saying, well, who built the cages, is yes, Obama built the cages. Yes, kids were put in detention and in sleeping on floors with Mylar blankets. But what is Trump's purpose in bringing that up? If he thinks it was a horrendous policy, he could have ended it. But not only did he not end it, but he made the immigration situation such that we're really at the point of genocidal policies. So it's important to recognize our past, but that doesn't justify anything that he has done. I mean, you had talked about how DHS is kind of spinning this, that the parents chose not to reunify with their children.
Right, that's a new thing that's come out now. The Trump administration is saying that the parents don't want to be reunited with their children.
Right. And so, again, it's as in so many of these policies that they started under Trump, these parents are given a Sophie's choice. I mean, they fled their country with their child to save their child's life. And so if we chose then to deport the parent back to the very harm that they fled, then how is that a choice for the parent to say, well, we can send your child back too? And I can tell you that the families that we are representing right now, there are 25 who are seeking reunification with their children and they're in their home countries. Many of them are in hiding. Many of them cannot return to their home villages. Some have already been found by their persecutors and had to be relocated and in hiding again.
And so, of course, they came from these dangerous conditions. They were fleeing danger, which is why they came to the U.S. They didn't just saunter over looking for higher paying jobs.
No. And so they came here. They came here seeking asylum, seeking safety with their child. So just picture this, and their child was taken from them. They had no idea, many of them, until they were actually deported, did they have any contact with their child or know where their child was. So you can only imagine how desperate they were in detention, not knowing. And then, so we take their child, we put them in prison. They can't contact their child. The child has no idea what happened, right? How can a six-year-old know why all of a sudden they're in this facility with hundreds of other children away from their parent? Then we take the parent and we deport them back to their home country that they fled with their child here, never knowing whether they'll ever see their child again.
Let's talk about the conditions under which the children are being held. 545 children without parents is a lot of children. Trump said on Thursday night that they were being held in excellent conditions. He said, we brought reporters. They're so well taken care of. They're in facilities that are so clean. So as somebody who works directly with families and trying to bring together children with their parents, what is the conditions that children are being held in?
Well, I mean, initially, children are held with their, you know, when they were first brought in and brought in with their parents, they're held in what they call the ilera, which is actually means ice box because it's so cold. Those are the pictures you see where they're maybe sleeping on a mat with a Mylar blanket. It's freezing. They can be crowded together. They can be sleeping near the bathroom. Some are then transferred to what they call the Pereira, which is the dog kennel. It's just a larger facility. And then the children were sent to ORR facilities, Office of Refugee Resettlement. And these are the big, you know, some of them the size of warehouses like Walmart that contain hundreds and hundreds of children. And no tending to them or their trauma. And then eventually, like everyone that we represent, has been released from ORR custody. Sometimes it took a while, but they're released to sponsors. Some sponsors are family members. Some there is no family member. Some are in foster care, and you know some have been bounced from sponsor to sponsor. And I can just again, you can only imagine that no matter. But no matter how good the condition might be where they are right now, even if hopefully they are in a loving situation, they are still traumatized. And we have reunified, actually El Otro has reunified more families than any organization as of yet. But the ones that we've reunified, I can tell you that the reunification is just the beginning of the long journey of healing. A lot of these children think that their parent abandoned them. Again, they have no idea. There's this lack of trust. And I'm not just talking about the younger children, the teenagers too. So they all need healing. They all need counseling. They need safety. And we are not, I mean, the government is not providing that. And as far as you're asking, well, okay, Donald Trump says we are trying to reunify. We're doing everything we can. The government is doing nothing. The government is doing nothing. The only way we even know about these people is because of the ACLU filed the Mizzell class action. It is organizations like Justice in Motion who are in Central America going door to door, village to village, trying to find these people. It's not funded by the government. Their return is not funded by the government, and their return is not guaranteed by the government.
So when a federal judge has asked lawyers to help reunite families, there's no resources being given to ensure that reunification?
Well, so the original Ms. L class settlement affected the people who were the parents and children who were currently in the United States still in custody. There was no right of return for families, parents where they had been deported. So there is no clear pathway for families who were deported to come back and be reunified with their child. So that has been up to a very painstaking one by one process that the, you know, we actually have to ask the government's benevolence in returning these families. And the first group that we proffered before them, it was about 52, I believe, and they categorically said no. And so again, it's up to the nonprofit organizations, NGOs like us, to find these families. It was up to us to get them returned. It was up to us to get, thanks to a lot of generous fundraising, get them back. The government has no responsibility to do so.
Unbelievable. So this was an issue, just very quickly in the last couple of minutes, this was an issue that really motivated Americans around the country when it first came to light in 2018. And here we are in 2020 on the verge of an election. Do you feel that there just isn't as much attention? I mean, yes, it made it into the presidential debate, thank goodness. And because of that, you know, of course, it's in the news cycle. But it seems as though in the massive list of wrongdoings from the Trump administration, this is, you know, one of many, or maybe even a footnote.
Right. And that's the really difficult part, because there's so much that's being done, you know, between the Remain in Mexico program at the border and, you know, expedited removals. It's hard to wrap your head around this, but I do believe that the family separations touched a nerve with a lot of the public. My fear was that most people thought that it was over because, again, the families that were already here were reunified. And I know, and now we all know, that there are hundreds still in their home countries who have not been reunified. And there may be, at moment, no chance for them to do so. And some have not even seen their children for over 3 years. Wow. So you can imagine what has happened in the meantime.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Caroline. Give out a website where people can find out more about the work that you do.
Sure. It's alotrolado.org.
alotrolado.org. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Carol Ann Donahoe, Managing Attorney of the Family Reunification Project at Al Otro Lado. We've been discussing Trump's lies on immigration at Thursday night's debate. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.